Welcome to the Disruption Everywhere podcast. I'm your host, Frank Bacritas. I have over 20 years working in disruptive industries, going all the way back to the internet.com startup days, through the telecommunications bubble, and most recently working in disruptive industries like blockchain and fintech. My goal of this podcast is to share with you topics and bring on guest hosts that can provide insight into disruptive businesses, products, and ideas that are directly impacting our lives today and our futures tomorrow. So welcome again, and remember, disruption is everywhere. Before we begin, please support the Disruption Everywhere podcast by subscribing it and sharing it with your friends. Check out our website at disruptioneverywhere.com. Sign up for our newsletter, check out our blog, and follow us on social media. And thank you. And now, on this episode of the Disruption Everywhere podcast, we will be exploring how artificial intelligence and machine learning are providing fair access to credit. Our guest today has an MBA from the University of Athens, was a senior advisor at Ernst & Young, manager of financial services at Grant Thornton, and named Fortune's 40 Under 40, and was also a winner of the NYU Stern 300K Entrepreneurs Challenge, and is currently the co-founder and chief risk officer at FinClude. Please meet Ioana Staneglioidi. Is that how I pronounce it?
That was a very good try.
So how do I pronounce that, Ioana?
Ioana Staneglioidi.
Staneglioidi.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much.
I tried getting a little fancy on me. So you have a very impressive background. So
thank you.
With that being said, talking about your background, Ioana, how did an entrepreneur from Greece end up founding a fintech company with headquarters in Ireland?
So, yeah, all started with personal issues because we were trying to relocate within European Union, or my co-founder tried to relocate in the US many years back. He still lives there. And thing is that when we relocated, or when I relocated within European Union, nobody knew me. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew how many assets did I have, or did I pay my bills on time, and so on. So I struggled, and I had to start from scratch. Every time I relocated, I had to struggle to rent a house, or to get a credit card, or even get a postpaid cell phone. So I've been also working in credit risk for 18 years now, and this issue was known to me and always baffled me, because it's a data issue. It's a data issue, and it's something that, of course, machine learning is can very easily solve. But it baffled me that nobody did anything up to today to solve this.
So is this a specific country to country issue? Is this a European wide issue, or?
Yeah.
Is this a global issue? I mean, can you kind of paint the picture? Because it sounds like you're primarily now focusing as a pan-European solution to providing this artificial intelligence, this machine learning, or your unique platform to provide credit and services to people that currently have this challenge. Can you kind of paint that picture a little bit, if you don't mind?
Mm-hmm. Of course. It's a global problem, but we focus on European Union. European market is a single market, but in terms of credit risk assessment is utterly fragmented. Thing is, what helped us to solve the issue now is EU regulations that recently changed. The deadline for application of PSD2, the updated payment service directive, was September 2019. Up to September 2019.
I'm sorry, Ioana. Can you please explain what that directive is and why it was important? I just want to make sure that the audience understands that.
So PSD2 is the updated payment service directive of European Commission and obligated financial institutions throughout European Union to open their APIs. API is a way that two applications communicate with each other. So by obligating financial institutions to open their APIs made me and you and all European citizens owners of their banking data. Up to yesterday, financial institutions kept their data as proprietary and did not exchange them between financial institutions throughout European Union. But now EU regulator obligate them to open their API. So it makes it possible for every fintech, financial technology company, let's say, or any challenger bank and so on, to build on top of the data of the banking data.
That's got it. So how does that tie into your platform? So, you know, so what's special and unique for what you're doing with FinClude here that's you know, disruptive and actually going about solving this problem? Can you explain that a little bit?
Of course. Aside, traditional credit scoring is primarily based on negative credit events. That is to say, at the end of the day, you need to have credit in order for the bank to be able to assess you, to assess your behavior towards this credit. By opening the APIs and releasing the transactional data, of course, and always upon consent of the individual owner, of course, but by releasing this data, European regulator allowed us, I mean, FinClude, to build on top of that and use the transactional data in order to assess the spending behavior and the transactional behavior of the individual user and dynamically adjust this user's credit score to something more fair, to something that matches her profile, her needs, her financial standing, and augment her her chances towards a financial product. And in the same time, because we use the transactional data throughout European Union and these data are uniform, gives us the ability to create mobility of the financial profile of the user. So this is the unique.
So can I, I'm going to ask a follow-up question, and I apologize for my naiveness here a little bit, Ioana. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you are trying to achieve, let's say, in the U.S., we call it a FICO score, a standard for the European Union, mm-hmm. where anybody that is a citizen or seeking employment, credit, lines of credit, like you said, applying for a loan or apartment or whatever the case may be, can take this score that you provide, and basically it goes beyond borders all across the European Union, and it can be recognized as some type of standard that could be used for them to acquire access to credit and financial services. Am I understanding this correctly, or have I missed something?
Very correctly. And just to add up just a little detail to what you're saying. So our basic score is like FICO or Experian score. What FICO Boost does, or Experian Boost or Ultra FICO does, is what we're trying to do. That is to say, you have your basic credit score, basic on the credit fundamentals that define a credit score, but we're trying to build on top of that with spending and transactional behavior of the user. So yes, it's very close to these two products.
Okay, cool. That makes things a lot more sense to me. And I mean, it sounds like it's something that's very needed as well. So What is your business model then, and how do you go about acquiring customers?
So our offering is free. It's out there for every individual user to use it as they see fit. But primarily, we focus on the B2B aspect. So we're a startup. Nobody knows us just yet, but everybody knows their bank or their banks that they bank with.
What Well, by the way, they will know you after the podcast episode. No, I'm just joking.
Well, thank you. That's amazing. Thing is, we at the end of the day, we want to use the transactional and banking data of the user. So we are focusing primarily on a B2B approach. So we are creating partnerships with financial institutions mainly in order for them to channel their applicants, their credit applicants, to our platform in order for the applicant to get the updated behavioral transactional credit score and boost their chances towards a credit product. Within the platform, we perform a credit health check, so the individual is free to know what is going on regarding their financial well-being or their credit health, and they get, let's say, advice, but they get prompted with tips to ameliorate their credit score and better their chances at the end of the day.
Okay, so it sounds like your combination of like FICO and Credit Karma kind of all wrapped together. So it's a little bit of, hey, this is your baseline credit score based on, let's say, your any credit challenges you had. This is, they were also going to take into account all your spending habits. And by the way, if we see something here in our modeling that could help you, we're going to bring that to your attention as well. Is that accurate? Yeah. So it sounds like it's a kind of a holistic financial wellness credit score system. Okay.
That's very correct. The only thing that we do not do is that we do not promote any banking product. So we stay independent.
Got it. So that's going to come into my next question. So it sounds like your customers are the consumers and the financial institutions. You're kind of a
Our paying customers are the financial institutions, but our end users, yes, it's individual.
Okay, so do you have any current? Are there any financial institutions currently that you are working with that you can share?
Yes. Or? Okay. I cannot share, but yes, there are two of them.
Oh, that's great. So you're basically, and that was kind of going to be my kind of tie into your go to market. So it sounds like you are in the market, you are already working with financial institutions, and you're already actually executing this this platform. So can anybody today, basically go to your site in the European Union? Is it open yet, or is that something that's in the near future? Can you share that a little bit?
Okay. We will be opening it up to the public the next couple of months. Currently, we're running with friends and family and extended friends and family and all the customers, the end users, let's say, channeled through the financial institutions that we have paying collaboration. So it's not yet available to everyone, but it's going to be within the next months. It's in the roadmap.
Wow. Well, that's right around the corner. So where do you see the industry going over the next 5 to 10 years in this space? And how do you see FinClude kind of positioned for that?
I think a lot of work is done already and will be done the next few years from fintechs and challengers towards digitalization of services. And I know I can see that banks, legacy financial institutions are starting to understand the need towards digitalization. The current pandemic only, comes and pushes more forward towards this direction. I feel that we are going to witness, by the end of the 5 years, we're going to witness a huge wave of acquisitions and M&As to this direction, because I believe at the end of the day, banks will want to digitize, and sometimes buyouts are faster than in-house development.
Okay, great. So you want to hear now, we're going into the next segment of the podcast, and we call this segment the Rapid Disruption Round, where I'm going to ask you a few quick questions, and you're going to shoot out the first answer that comes to your mind. So are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. Okay, so who was your hero or mentor growing up, and how do they influence you?
Check out Ray Dalio. His principles can direct your life. It can be your Bible. He's my superhero, and I admire him, and I want to reread his book every chance I get.
So you just knocked off two questions here. So I was going to ask you your favorite book and why. Yeah. So I'm going to assume it's Principles from Ray Dalio.
Yeah, it's Principles, but I read a lot of Stephen King as well.
So okay, great. Your favorite food?
Yemista. It's stuffed tomatoes and peppers. It's a Greek traditional stuffed tomatoes and peppers with rice.
When's the last time you've had some?
A week ago, I visited
my
mother.
Me too. That's why I was going to tell you. I had some stuffed tomatoes, stuffed peppers, and stuffed eggplant. It was all very, very good. It's one of my favorite as well. One lesson learned either in business or in life that you would like to share with everyone.
Lack is something important, but without hard work, you cannot get nowhere. So I think, there is a lot, there is network, there is studies, there is everything, but without getting out there and getting the job done and doing the mistake and falling down and getting back up, you're going nowhere. That's my great lesson. And I would love young people to have that in their minds, because I think this is the only ticket that can get you everywhere. So, and it's something that you can control, right? So you cannot control lack or network, but if you get out there and you work, it's something that's in your hands.
That was absolutely amazing. That was great. I love what you are doing with FinClude. I think it's something that's needed. I love your passion. I love your drive. And if someone out there, Ioana, wants to connect with you or learn more about FinClude, how can they best go about doing that?
So, my email is ioana@finclude.ai, or they can drop me a line in our site, finclude.ai as well. I would love to get in touch with anyone who would like to know more or see any synergies with our initiative. I think we're going to have some contact details in the overview as well, Frank. So there's that.
Okay, great. So if you like what you heard, please subscribe to the Disruption Everywhere podcast. Please go to our website at disruptioneverywhere.com. Sign up for our newsletter with additional information on our up-and-coming topics. And as Ioana mentioned, all the information for this episode, there will be actually a blog post and a whole bunch of links and additional information in the description section of this podcast episode as well. So click the links there. Follow up, connect with Ioana and FinClude. And remember, everyone, until next time, disruption is everywhere.